I've got a scripture for you today from the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a prophet, which meant that he spoke some challenging words to people. And our passage today is coming to us, and it's addressed to the Israelites. And the Israelites were sent into exile in Babylon, which meant that they had to flee from their homes, and they had to run away, and they were experiencing a lot of scary things. So let's listen to these words from Jeremiah today. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you. And I will fulfill you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, I will find you. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray together. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be holy in your sight. Our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this summer at North Decatur, we've been focusing on Sabbath. And I think, at least for me, it's sometimes felt a little strange to be focusing on Sabbath. And because all around us, the world is exploding with violence. It feels strange because when we consider how to rest, restlessness is dominating our collective life together. Is it not on? I think it's on. Do you feel that tension too? When the staff here at North Decatur decided that Sabbath would be the centering theme for this season, no one could have guessed all the ways that peace would be disrupted in such a short period of time. No one could have guessed that we would witness so much loss and heartbreak in Orlando and Baton Rouge, St. Paul and Dallas, all the way to Bangladesh and Iraq, and now even this week in Nice and in Turkey. Maybe we should have known. It's not like violence and terrorism and global angst are new phenomena. And in light of this violence, perhaps considering rest feels foolish or irrelevant. Maybe considering Sabbath feels privileged or overly optimistic. But on the other hand, maybe considering rest is one of the holiest actions that we can undertake. For if it is truly regarded as essential, Sabbath becomes a means of resistance, a way of practicing hope amidst the chaos. If God were writing a letter to us today, I think that God's words might sound a little like Jeremiah from this passage. In the 29th chapter, Jeremiah speaks to the Israelites who have been exiled to Babylon, forced to leave their homes and subjected to oppression and persecution. The Israelites might have been tempted to violently resist their captors or to wallow in fatalistic despair. In the face of a powerful empire, neither of these reactions would have provided sustainable or fruitful results. And thus Jeremiah provides a counter vision. That's what prophets do. Acknowledging the reality of the exile and recognizing that the Babylonians will not soon allow the Israelites to return to Jerusalem, Jeremiah urges the people to choose peace, to practice hope despite difficult circumstances. So what does this look like for the Israelites? According to the text, the people are not to practice hope by building temples and offering sacrifices, and nor by fervently praying for a new reality or committing to complicated rituals. No, Jeremiah suggests that practicing hope is inherently relational. To practice hope is to form new relationships with one another that will expand and grow into families of care. To practice hope is to work together in the dirt, planting and growing gardens that will nourish bodies and souls. To practice hope is to construct roofs under which giggling children and wise grandmothers might joyfully share moments together. To practice hope is to build a loving community that radiates light and warmth, even in unfamiliar territory. In these ways, a subjective population holds tightly to its humanity. The practice of hope becomes a practice of resistance. And by practicing hope, the Israelites in exile resist giving in to fear and violence. And instead, they begin to bloom where they have been planted. And at the same time, the Israelites find a way to rest in the strong bonds of a community, despite being immersed in turmoil. I wonder, could this be our calling as well? Could practices of hope be a means of resistance for us today? It often feels as if our entire world has been exiled. Exiled from peace. Exiled from security and safety. Fear and terrorism have exiled us from one another, creating absolute chaos. And just like the Israelites, we are tempted to act violently in response to fear. And yet we see that violence only increases the chaos, only feeds the terrorism. But just like the Israelites, we are also tempted to wallow in fatalistic despair, resigned to cynicism and distrust. This is perhaps the most dangerous mindset in the midst of chaos. About a week ago, Zach and I were out to eat at a nice restaurant in Midtown. It was one of those restaurants where the tables are strangely small and close together, which makes it hard not to unintentionally eavesdrop. A seemingly well-to-do couple was seated next to us, and they were wrapping up their dinner together and having a strange conversation in hushed voices while signing the check. Prefaced by a few disparaging comments about the recent news of police violence and mass protests, which they condescendingly deemed race riots, the well-to-do man whispered a secret to his dining partner. "My family has been prepping for a while now. We've got a whole room of canned goods stored up and an escape plan. I've been thinking about purchasing a few more guns just in case. It might be good for you to start making some plans too. But don't tell the neighbors. We don't want anyone coming to our place when things start to unravel." Both Zach and I managed to overhear this not so quiet confession. We exchanged a few eye rolls and disbelieving looks. I have never encountered a so-called doomsday prepper in real life, so I found it hard to take the statement seriously. And yet, escapism has always had a place in society. In the 1960s and onward, survivalists stocked their pantries and made plans in case of a nuclear holocaust. Shows like Man vs. Wild and even Walking Dead present models for surviving should the apocalypse come. And today, escapism is perhaps more attractive than ever as the world burns and suffers on live-streamed video and politicians spew hate speech. Those who swear by escapism are seemingly akin to those Jeremiah warns against. Prophets and diviners who dream fearful dreams and proclaim defeatist prophecies. God did not send them. For God does not wish for fear to rule our hearts. Because instead, God calls us to continue practicing hope amidst the chaos. God calls us to seek community, to lay down roots, to create families and remain engaged in the cities we inhabit. The welfare of the world should be our aim, and our commitment to this aim must transcend our own survivalist tendencies. Even when we feel exiled by fear, our practices must reflect the hope we find in God. Our practices must continue to create beauty in the world in order to resist hatred. For we know that one day this exile will end and peace will reign. And the more we resist fear today, the more we will be able to envision home. Practicing hope today is a means of creating a future of hope tomorrow. So we're going to do something a little different today. As we reflect on God's calling, I want to invite you into this conversation. I have three discussion questions for you, and I would like to invite you to turn to a neighbor or two and to chat a little bit about how hope is envisioned in this world today. And if you haven't met the people you're sitting around, this is a great time to introduce yourself. So go ahead and turn to a neighbor or two, and we're going to have a little chat for 5 to 10 minutes. So find a neighbor, introduce yourself, and I'll give you your first question. The first question is, what is chaotic in your life and in the world today? What is chaotic in your life and in the world today? Where is the chaos? Go ahead and reflect. Reflecting, a second question to ponder is, amidst all of the chaos, how do you practice hope? What does that look like for you? What are your hopeful practices? All right, we have one final question. How is Sabbath a tool for resisting violence and hatred? How might Sabbath be a tool for resisting violence and hatred? Pondering on Sabbath, how is it resistance? All right. Thank you, everyone, for having an open spirit about this non-traditional sermon and for engaging each other in conversation. I think that right here, we just practiced what it means to be a community. You know, we come every week and we sit in these pews, and this is modeling the way in which we become a tight-knit community, these conversations, these reflections. So thank you for engaging in this.